Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go, Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, we woke up to reports that Brian Schottenheimer was going to get an interview. He got an interview. No news on that yet, but this could be it. That would, you know, kind of feel like, the kind of the pace that would make sense if you knew the coach you wanted to hire. You got your Rooney Rule things out of the way. You brought in Kellen Moore last week. And now here early in this week, you're ready to make a decision. I don't think Schottenheimer is exciting anybody. I'm pretty discouraged, you know, just by the overall process once again. Brian was so discouraged. I saw him post on Twitter that he's just going to focus on the draft, you know, because if the Cowboys aren't taking it serious, why should we, Brian? I think it's brilliant.
I just feel like that the one thing that I can talk about and potentially help our audience understand is who these players are. And a lot of guys and gals are doing their own work out there because of the work we've done on the draft shows all through these years. I really do appreciate people taking the time and studying players and putting together their own boards and stuff like that. Guys, gals, that's the only thing we can control right now. We can't control who they're going to hire or who they're going to interview. And I'm just, like I say, I'm not going to, if it's Schottenheimer, I understand it because I think it's for Dak Prescott. Yeah. But like I say, the one thing I could look at is players. And as they're getting drafted by not only the Cowboys but other teams, I could tell you, like, okay, the Eagles had a really good draft. Oh, looks like the Commanders missed on that one. Oh, I wouldn't have done that if I was the Giants. Yeah. That's what my focus is right now.
It's just tough to try to make sense of it and to try to, you know, cover it when it's so unpredictable. The only thing that can allow it to make sense for me is, you know, Jerry is specifically looking for somebody with no other options so he can leverage that guy into doing, you know, whatever he wants to do and accept whatever terms he's got, which includes not a lot of money and, you know, not a lot of say in his coaching staff and, you know, not going to put up a big fight when, Jerry wants to meddle in affairs as he does. So, you know, I guess Brian Schottenheimer would once again fit that description. And, at that point, I'm just hoping for the best. You can build an incredible roster or Shotty's had some sort of a light bulb moment and can bring something to the table that he has not brought at his previous three stops as an OC where he's had a top 10 offense twice over the course of 14 years. So we will focus on the draft. The first thing I have would actually be the 2026 and beyond draft, Brian. And my question for you is, could the Cowboys' next quarterback be in this group? Heisman favorites with a local flavor.
Yeah.
LSU's Garrett Nussmeier, who I know you've watched a lot, the former start at Flower Mound, the son of Doug Nussmeier, the Cowboys' former tight end and quarterback coach. Top of the board, plus 900 odds. You have Arch Manning at plus 950. Clemson QB Cade Klubnik, another Texas native, sitting tied for third at plus 1,100. The Penn State and Tennessee quarterbacks are fourth and fifth in there. But if this next year doesn't go well with Dak, doesn't bounce back from the avulsion fracture surgery, offense not humming along, I don't think 2026 draft would be too early to imagine maybe the Cowboys looking at taking a guy and getting ready.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody out there that can educate me on really what the contract situation is for Dak and are you ready to eat cap money? And we've seen a lot of teams that have been willing to do that with their quarterbacks. You know, the Denver Broncos, you know, teams have just been willing to go ahead and move on from guys and play with a younger guy. And so, absolutely, I don't think there's any guarantee that things are going to be great for the Dallas Cowboys record-wise next year. I think there's going to be a pretty substantial loss of players that we saw that played for you, that helped you win the seven games. That, for, let's be honest, for a while there, we've kind of seen Oso Digizua play better, but we've seen him play at his absolute best this year. Golston was one of those guys, got a lot of work. So they're going to lose the Jordan Lewis's and guys like that, and it's going to be very difficult to replace them. So I don't think with the Cowboys' schedule and who they have to play next year, I don't think there's any guarantee this thing's going to be a bounce back. So, yeah, if you can tell me how much cap money we're potentially going to have to eat if Dak Prescott doesn't have success, then, you know, then I'm always interested in that. But I don't know if necessarily they would be interested in that.
Yeah, you know, I think the out in the contract is maybe after two more years of him. Yeah. So, like, drafting a guy. But I just think if you're in the top five and there's great quarterbacks in there that you could take, you have to consider all options. Yep. Is Garrett Nussmeier a good NFL prospect from what you've seen?
Yeah, he's the closest thing to Tony Romo as you're ever going to see. And the way he plays, there's a real looseness to his game. There's a real take chance mentality. There's a very, at times you're like, no, no, no. And then it turns into yes, yes, yes kind of a player. So yeah, if you're interested in that type of a quarterback, that's what Garrett Nussmeier is. He's much like Daniels. He's, you know, Daniels carried a bad defensive LSU team to multiple, you know, to 10 win season, to, you know, to bowl games and things. Nussmeier basically has done the same thing. I mean, he's played in a lot of games where he was the absolute difference maker. They've got talented receivers. They had one of the better offensive lines in the country. He took advantage of that, but I'll tell you what, though, he is a very good football player, and like I say, if you like a Tony Romo type quarterback, that's your guy.
Arch Manning would be something as well. I mean, that would just be a perfect story. Other area players with current odds: Kevin Jennings is at +3,000. Marcel Reed at A&M +4,000.
Yeah, he beat us in a game at LSU. They brought him into the game at LSU, Texas A&M, and he was the difference maker. Couldn't get it done down the stretch, you know, against the South Carolinas and then the Auburns and teams like that. So I was interested. I thought, man, with him playing, that A&M was probably going to have a chance at the Southeastern Conference Championship game after the LSU game. They just couldn't get it done defensively to stop anybody.
In the meantime, we're talking about the 2025 draft. I have seven prospects in last night's national championship game. You tell me if you like the player, if you'd like to see the Cowboys take him. Of course, yeah. Longhorns fans all know the name Jack Sawyer by now. It's permanently etched in their nightmares, the edge from Ohio State. Projected as what, a second round kind of guy?
Yeah, he is really, if you look at him, there's a group of really bendy kind of edge rushers, and then there's these edge rushers that are really stout, kind of like, you know, the guys that are really good against the run, maybe not as pass rush savvy. The thing with Sawyer, yeah, he plays with a lot of effort. We've seen that. He's really good with the run. He's good at extending on the he's good extending on his guys and stuff like that. He's, in my book, probably a third-round guy. I've got bendy dudes in the second and kind of defensive end run-stopper type guys in that third round, and he's part of that group.
Okay, how about Jack Kaiser, linebacker, Notre Dame?
Haven't seen Jack Kaiser play, but he's I know he's played in I think he's played in over 60 games for the Irish.
Wow.
And so, yeah, he's a veteran guy, always around the ball. You know, I've seen him in some TV stuff like the game, but I have not sat down and watched him as a player.
I would love it if they could find another, you know, linebacker. I just don't know if I want to be using draft capital until we get to the fourth round on that position. Yeah. Two Buckeye running backs, Judkins and Henderson. How much of a drop-off are you from Ashton Jeanty to the, you know, guys like this?
Yeah, Jeanty in the first, and then you're talking about Johnson from Iowa in the second, Hampton from North Carolina right behind him in the second. I've got Henderson behind those two guys in the second round. Then you go down to the third round, Scatterboo from Arizona State, Sampson from Tennessee, Harvey from Central Florida. Now we get down to Junkins. Junkins hasn't declared for the draft yet. So I've already done the work on him and stuff. We'll see. He's got a few more days because he played in the national championship game to have to be able to declare. There's word that he might go back to Ohio State with how deep this running back draft is.
Man, that thing is deep. Yeah. Do we go into the fourth with quality still?
Absolutely.
Plug and play guys?
Absolutely. You can go down there. Neal from Kansas is a really good player. And then Hunter as well. There's some guys. Hunter went to school at Auburn. And so, yeah, that thing goes all the way down into the fourth round. Quality backs there.
I do feel like when you're looking at defensive players in the first 2 days of the draft, you have to acknowledge that Dak did not have many weapons, did not have much speed, can use offensive linemen. So I don't know how much you'd be thinking defense. But if the head coach said, hey, let's try to have the best defense in the NFL and throw picks and maybe go corner at 12, and then defensive tackle from Ohio State, Tyleek Williams, project as a pass rushing defensive tackle, but a big athlete. The website I had him on had him projected as a second round player, Brian.
Yeah, that's exactly where he is. There's going to be a run on these one techniques. You know, they're, you know, depending on what you think about, you know, if it's shoddy new staff, does Jeff Sugina, the defensive line coach, get to stay? We saw some Mozzie Smith positivity as opposed to 2 years ago. But Tyliq Williams, though, with 6'3", 327 pounds, he's a massive tackle, but he's not sloppy. I mean, some of these guys you think are kind of like, well, they're that big, they're sloppy dudes. No, he's not, though. High football IQ, when he sees plays, reading plays, he's got a relentless motor, his effort to make himself to get into position to make plays. He needs to improve a little bit as a pass rusher. I think you mentioned that, but he does a really good job of collapsing the pocket with power. He can line up and play kind of all those. You see Ohio State kind of moves him around in those defensive line spots. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot to like about Williams and that size and his ability to control the inside of the pocket.
I mean, the surge that they got, I imagine he's a big part of it.
Oh, he's got.
Are you looking to move on from Mozzie already?
No, I'm really not. I think to me, like, maybe that you look at Mozzie and you say, well, can he play some three? They're going to need, if he's going to stay lighter, you know, maybe you could put him in, and he's starting to come off the ball better. But you need a little bit more quickness from him. But I will say like this, there's the three techniques in this draft are not as prevalent as the one techniques are.
Okay.
There's more of those guys than there are the potential three techniques.
Safety, Xavier Watts, Notre Dame. Maybe
talked about him yesterday. Yeah. Remember him? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he is there at 44, I mean, I don't know if he's got like the special kind of abilities, but you know, you don't value safety high in positional value. I get that. But it seems like the defenses that come across a great one have a tremendous advantage. And if you got an edge like Micah Parsons and a guy that can make plays for you on the back end like that, I'd love to see him take another chance at safety. What do you think about Watts specifically?
Yeah, the right place at the right time type of guy. I thought last night in that game, as much crossers that Ohio State runs and the down the field throws and stuff that they make, that maybe Watts would be one of those guys that would be an errant throw and he'd be able to pick this thing off. But he was a converted wide receiver that's made the transition to safety. Super productive being around the ball. A lot to like about Xavier Watts. 6'1", 203 from Notre Dame.
Abuka is the third player, the final player, the seventh guy here. Good pick at 12 if he's there, right?
Yeah, this is there's a lot to like. He's it's so funny that this guy has played with so many great players. Just go through all these Ohio State wide receivers, and he's been a part of every one of those groups. And he's been like always kind of been the number two, but you know, on a lot of other teams, he could clearly be the number one in the way he plays. But absolutely love the way he's a super athlete. He's very driven, catches the ball well. Father's a big part of his life, but that's in a positive way. You know, he's always that guy that's kind of a versatile weapon. And I think as a two with CeeDee Lamb, this guy could do a lot of good.
Okay, let's go to Blogging the Boys here. Headline, you can make a strong argument the Cowboys should go offensive tackle in the first round, Brian. I'd love to get you just your philosophical thoughts on this. Would moving Guyton to right tackle fix him? You're not in a situation where cutting Terrence Steele makes sense with the cap. Is this a thing that you hope for the best in year two with Guyton and then reevaluate a year from today?
Yeah, I think that, Gavin, the biggest problem with Guyton is the penalties. That's the biggest problem. I mean, there's been times where you watch him play and the technique as far as the hand placement, the feet, he could get a little wonky in the way he plays. But, man, I've seen a lot of rookie offensive linemen that struggle with pass protection. You know, but able to kind of, because they're such a good athlete, this guy hasn't played a lot of games. You know, unfortunately, though, he got hurt in training camp, got hurt during the season, and then, you know, had to go with Odoga. Odoga came back, and they felt like, hey, we got to try and find a way to win games, so let's play this guy. But I kind of feel like with Guyton, if you find a way to eliminate the penalties, but he's also got to get better maturity there. You know, it's got to be important to you. You know, and there's some questions about really how important it was to him this season.
Looking at the Steele contract, it is interesting that if they would decide to move on from him, it wouldn't be that punitive. I would be wondering what you could get in the draft. Do you think moving Guyton to right tackle could make him more comfortable help him with less penalties?
I think yeah, to me, it's just you talk about the comfort factor. Like, you know, you did invest some games in him at left tackle. He is, like you say, he played a limited amount of games at right tackle. I think he'd kind of be starting all over again.
You know, I think if you have a good running back next year with an okay offensive line, yeah, you can do good enough.
Yeah.
But the goal needs to be the Eagles. We need one of the best running backs and one of the best offensive lines in the game if you want to win inside this Dak Prescott next 4 years of his contract, right? So yeah, I'm looking at Steele saying, hey, thanks. We kind of made a mistake on the big contract for you. Mm-hmm. You know, congratulations on working hard, but we need a premium type player to plug in here before too long. So everybody's up for evaluation. I'm playing musical chairs there until I get a piece.
Yeah, I think you're not going to do anything at center. You're surely not going to do anything at left guard. But everything else, I think, is up for debate for you there.
Okay. And then Cody Warren inside the star.com says he'd be staying away from running back. Not that he doesn't like Ashton Jeanty, but at 12, there are too many needs at premium positions. And I could go with Jeanty.
Yeah.
But I think you have to look at offensive line, wide receiver, and corner. Right. And if we don't have a good option there, the guy's been super injured and banged up, then I'm like, okay, let's go with Jeanty.
Yeah.
But until we're at that point, I'm thinking I'm going to go with a different position and then, you know, hopefully get 90% of Ashton Jeanty in the second or third round.
If Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State, checks out knee wise and he's there at 12, you ought to take him.
Right on.
I mean, but Jeanty, Graham is another one that I absolutely love, the Michigan three technique there. Walker, the linebacker from Georgia, is an outstanding player. There's going to be a corner on the board, whether you like Barron from Texas or Morrison potentially from Notre Dame. There's going to be probably two wide receivers, an offensive tackle, a guard when Jeanty's on the board. Jeanty might be the best player on the board when they go to their stack. But there's going to be some options there for you.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Thank you. Cowboys NFL Draft Big Board Report. Whenever we get a big batch of Cowboys storylines and headlines to talk about, the real secret sauce of the Eagles team-building approach that nobody else is doing, and do we want the Cowboys to copy it? That's
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next in the nation. All right, 469, I love that it's officially draft talk season, says Zach and Frisco. Yeah, that was a hell of a job by Brian breaking down those prospects. We have more of that here really over the next 4+ months. Great draft talk segment, Gavin and Brian. I feel like I learned a lot about who the Cowboys could be taking, not only in the first, second, as well.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I mean, I'm on like several podcasts too. You know, Love of the Star, Bobby and I talk about the draft. We have the actual draft show on DallasCowboys.com. And then Vach Lombardi and I do a nightly thing on YouTube for draft coverage that we break down three, four players every night. And it's just, it kind of gives you an idea of maybe not so much who the Cowboys might take, but just who the players are. So
an absolutely massive draft, you know, this year. They got to get back into a mode of nailing their first and then picking up multiple contributors in the following rounds. And, you know, this front office has really been on a great run since 2010 when they took Tyron Smith. They were, you know, one of the top five teams. And I feel like if you take a look at the last 5 years or so, I don't even know if they're in the top half of the league, considering how big of a failure they had with Guyton and Mozzie Smith and Scooney and some of these guys. So this is big, you know, and I don't think it's a coincidence at all that they had two below average drafts back to back and now find themselves out of the playoffs and figuring out how to get right. And it's no coincidence that the Eagles had one of the best drafts and they took a team that, you know, was kind of looking like had run its course, and now they're back in a very big way. So the Eagles are sort of the focus of this segment. I stumbled upon a small research progress for my project for myself earlier as I was wondering how'd the Eagles get such a great roster again. We've been talking for multiple years how there's got to be an end of this money, you know, and when they do well, you know, and then the Cowboys sit out free agency, you know, there's always social media posts saying, well, the Eagles find a way, right? So how much longer can they keep this going, and what exactly are they doing was kind of my thought here. And, you know, we talk about how we want the Cowboys to go for it. And, you know, they say they can't because of the salary cap, but how do the Eagles do this? Okay, segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Stick around. I promise this is not boring salary cap talk. Maybe a few of you are aware of this already. Segment's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Mm. What Howie Roseman has done is $400 million worth of contracts in voidable years of contracts that range in expiration from 2027 to 2030. So in the next...
You staggered it, huh?
2 years from now, they will average $100 million of voidable year contracts on their books. Nobody in the NFL is even close.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Cowboys have $19 million in voidable years sitting on their books, 18 of it with CeeDee Lamb, a deal that they just did, and then 1.5 for Dak Prescott, and they'll start adding to that. But so far, he's continued to borrow from the future to create more space for now, and at the same time, he's creating more value to use on the roster right now, and that is how you can have a team with no holes again. The question is, do we want the Cowboys to copy this, or is this doomed for failure? You know, because if they don't get a Super Bowl done in one of the next couple of seasons, that is going to be a massive burden. At this point, the cap's at $280 million. $100 million is like 40% of your cap. Are you going to continue to borrow from the future? Is that a never-ending gift that keeps on giving?
Did Stephen Jones make a comment about the Eagles cap situation? It's like, did he made a comment like,
it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So to him, it's not sustainable. To Howie, he's like, all gas, no brake.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, no, watch me. But I think, to me, if I was Howie Roseman, I keep doing it because, you know what? If it doesn't work, somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
It's not my problem. To Stephen Jones, who's never going to go away, that's a problem.
It will be his problem eventually.
It will be his problem.
Yeah.
It's something that he does not want to deal with going forward.
You would definitely need the approval of the owner, because at some point, we're not going to have a quarterback and we're still going to owe him $100 million against the cap.
Exactly.
And that year is going to be really, really horrible.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if you can time it out well, you have all guys league minimum. You go 0-17 or maybe 0-18 at the time, then you have the number one pick, and it also gives you a boost in team building if you're willing to ride that seesaw a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jalen Hurts, 2029, his contract will be over. He'll count $97 million against the cap. Devontae Smith in 2029, his contract will be over $35 million against the cap. A.J. Brown, $53 million in 2030, won't be on the team. Lane Johnson, 2 years from today, contract going to be up. He'll probably be heading for retirement. He's already up there. He'll have a $40 million cap hit. Darius Slay, $24 million. That's just a year from now.
Yeah.
His contract will be over. He'll count $25 million against the cap. And then Saquon Barkley in just 2 years from now, he'll be done and hit for $20 million against the cap. I feel like Cowboys fans are going to be shouting from the rooftops, yes, please, let's do this. Because you could just snap your fingers right now and add hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to your payroll. Create the kind of roster that could deliver a championship, but there is, you know, a massive burden. So is it reckless or brilliant at 877-881-1053?
It's just if you have the stomach to want to do that. Yeah, and I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't know. I don't think Stephen Jones has the stomach to do that. You know, I mean, he's trying to be somewhat responsible for his cap. But Howie, like I said, if my job was not guaranteed for the next 3-4 years, damn right I'm going to do stuff that, like, okay, fire me, fine. I'll walk away. But, yeah, you know, we won a couple of championships, and you know what, I'll go do TV now. But I did, you know, and they'll introduce me as a 2-time Super Bowl winner. And, you know, but nobody remembers that these Mike Mayocks and all these guys F up teams.
Yeah.
They get to be back on TV and still do stuff. They get jobs doing this stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I hope the Cowboys could get in this kind of game. I would think at some point, maybe it's not after 3 decades, maybe it's after 4 decades, you're like, you know what, screw it. Let's actually go all in. So the Eagles have $26 million of cap space coming up. Their key free agents, Mekhi Becton, Zach Bond, and Josh Sweat. I mean, that's your pass rush and one of your tackles, right? Mm-hmm. Projected it to account for $50 million on next year's contracts, but they'll just snap their fingers, borrow some from 2031 or 2032.
Right.
And, you know, by then the cap is going to be, I don't know, $350 million.
Probably.
So if you look at it as well, it's going to cost you less in the future than it's costing you now. So you might as well use that future money.
The only thing I think that would mess this up is if they negotiate. I don't know when the new television deal is up. Is there one coming up? If television were to go away. But it sounds like with streaming and other things, the avenue for making money is still there.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, if you're Howie, just keep pushing it forward with the thought that, you know, that, yeah, it's the bill's going to come due. But and I'm sure the Joneses or Adam Pacific or Todd Williams are driving around right now, and they're probably going, you guys are idiots for talking about this. But, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that Philadelphia is doing, and they're one of the final four teams and you're not. So you got to feel like, well, maybe it is. Maybe it's something you need to think about.
I mean, nobody else in the league has done even a quarter of it.
No.
But nobody else in the league has had this level of sustained success that's now coming up on what? Did they win the Super Bowl in 2017 or 2018?
Yeah.
And now here we are.
So they're back into it again. Yeah.
In 2025, I don't know. Maybe it's something that the entire league should be doing. But I think you said it. I mean, you reflect on how glorious the Mavericks championship of 2011 was, the Rangers championship of 2023 is.
And then you don't do it anymore, and then you just kind of blow things up and don't try and go for it again. I mean, that to me would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
That would absolutely drive me nuts.
I mean,
we're not going to try and do this again?
You want a front office and an ownership that wants it as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that describes Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, you know, and they understand how that is going to lock in a passionate fan base, and they're not satisfied by one. Now, what you're hoping for as a Cowboys fan is that this goes about as well as, you know, an over-leveraged household around America, and there is ultimately a bill to be paid, and their emotional spending will catch up to them.
So Steven thinks something's bad about to happen to them, so we'll see.
I mean, okay, so check this out. You play it out as the worst-case scenario. Yeah. The Eagles aren't good for 4 years, so what happens in those 4 years?
They reset and come back with,
Hall of Fame tackles.
Yeah.
You know, you go through 3 or 4 years where you're getting your cap absolutely in order. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of that, with your top five quarterback that you picked and, you know, one of the best corners in the game, some terrific wide receivers on rookie contracts.
Well, they've got two really good young corners, too. I mean, they've got some building pieces for sure if they want to go into that.
What would you be asking Zach and Eric if you're one of the UNT students tonight over there at their...
Is there anything that you studied that got you your job?
Yeah.
That's what I would ask.
They let you dress like that at work?
Right?
Lucius, I'm glad you noticed, my friend. Seriously. I thought Eric forgot.
Yeah.
He looked like the dude.
He didn't. He looked like he was one of the students.
Yeah.
Like, I just came back to talk to you guys that you can dress like this and be successful.
Says
the guy wears LSU clothes every day.
You know, the professor's probably looking for answers that suggest there's tremendous value in that class, right?
Yeah.
Zach and Eric going back to their alma mater tonight. They're the guests of honor, talking with the broadcast school, probably in a big auditorium, all these different students that are aspiring to be just like them. I would say, like, the broadcast students that come through, at least they're armed with some sort of knowledge that gives them confidence, so they aren't walking in here totally clueless.
Well, you guys are, like, professionally trained. Like me, I just got fired. That's what got me my job. Because I've had two careers, you know, front office career and a media career. So, you know, basically I'm like these guys that are on TV, like these coaches that get fired, these GMs that get fired, and then they get a TV gig or a radio gig. You know, I guess that's how you get a job. You know, be a guy that got fired and, you know, maybe you can talk your way through it.
I mean, I think on-the-job training is better than any sort of formal school you can get, but how do you get it? Like, I had a similar path. I just got a job in radio and got lucky that people were willing to teach me.
You worked with, you know, you were working with big-time radio there in Portland, though. You were doing the Jim Rome stuff. You were actually getting
Colin
on,
Cowherd.
Colin Cowherd. You were actually going on air, big-time national radio. Yeah, I mean, that's the best training you can get.
Okay, speaking of hiring, do you think hiring coaches, as the Cowboys interview Brian Schottenheimer today, we'll find out if there's developments on that tomorrow. Apparently didn't go quite as well as Mike McCarthy's did, where they had a sleepover and got hammered and then ended up hiring the guy. But I feel like we're heading in a direction where Schottenheimer's going to have the job by the end of the week. What's your read on it, Brian?
Yeah, I think that I think this is the one that they want to do. I keep talking about Dak, and if you're a Dak fan, then don't be mad at this one, because they did this with you in mind and Dak Prescott in mind. They're trying to help your quarterback. So if that's the case, anything that can help Dak, help CeeDee Lamb, help move the football, help score more points, get back to being successful on offense, you just got to find a way to build your team that you're not just a division-winning team, but you find a way to win a conference.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, it looks like, you know, the Commanders, they look like they're, you know, the Commanders have a bunch of cap space. They've got the quarterback right on the cheap deal. Now they're going to spend a bunch of money on cap and they're going to get to draft. So, you know, I think that who is it that we were talking to yesterday that told us that he felt like this would be the worst Washington team? Who were we visiting with yesterday? Oh, it was our guy down there in
Denton Day.
Denton Day.
Yeah.
Denton Day goes, this is the worst team this is the worst roster that Jane Daniels is going to play with. That should scare you a little bit if you're a Cowboy fan.
Yeah.
You know, bad. But
level of difficulty going up.
Yeah.
That's Eagles are going to keep swiping the credit card.
They're going to have 4 more years of this guy, you know, at a cheap salary.
Yeah.
And just being a nightmare player for you. So, this is a tough thing to kind of deal with if you're a Cowboy fan, but they're going to have to figure. I can say I think they're going to be not very good again this year. That's
second time this decade, we've seen them go through a coaching search that leaves everything to be desired.
Yeah,
like what a crap process it was to get Mike McCarthy, and now to get a guy that has not even received a head coach offer at the age of 51, 3-time OC. He was pretty much relegated out of that to, you're not good enough to be an OC. Right. Somehow he gets the gig with the Cowboys and now might parlay that into being a head coach. I think you trace this back to how Jerry felt so betrayed by Jimmy Johnson. I think it traumatized him in a way he wants to make sure he never has that feeling again. And those two Super Bowls made Jimmy so arrogant and so powerful that Jerry wants to make sure that he has his thumb on his coach and making sure the world and the players know who daddy is. And I think if you review everything that the Cowboys don't do well, even the salary cap management and free agency, this is by far the worst. And, you know, we talked earlier about how David Moore wrote today in the morning news, Jerry is at an age here where he might just start doing whatever he wants and to hell with everybody. And, you know, David was writing it as a perspective of don't rule out Deion Sanders.
I totally, that would not surprise me if all of a sudden we wake up tomorrow and instead of Brian Schottenheimer, the Deion Sanders is somehow.
But do you think Deion's controllable? I think I interpret it as Jerry's doing what he wants, and that is making sure he gets a coach that has no other option so he can leverage the hell out of him.
I think Deion and Jerry know how to work with each other, to be honest with you. I think they're kind of the same guy. I think they're driven guys. I think they both want to win. You know, they want to win their way, put it that way. But yeah, I could see a partnership there. I absolutely could.
You think Coach Prime would come here without his kids?
I think he would. I think he would.
Remember, he said he wanted to coach both of them. You know.
I think he would, Lucius. And the problem that I worry about though for him is the fact if he has to play against his son at the Giants two times a year.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if he would do that.
I don't know
if he would leave his son. He started coaching with his son all the way up until this point right here.
But the thing is, he's going to be coaching at Colorado without his son this year.
First time.
Yeah.
See, this is a huge stage. Deion loves the stage. This is the biggest stage you could be on. And I think
he already blew the stage up before. Remember when he came through and we got Nike deals and all types of stuff happening here. No question.
But he hasn't even taken the interview. You know, if he was a serious candidate, you wouldn't need to do the two Rooney Rule interviews.
No,
because you would know Deion's coming in.
That's what I'm saying.
Here.
I wonder if Jerry is sitting there right now when they sit down and talk about the best candidates for the job, and that Jerry pulls the Johnny Manziel's on that board. You know, he does that, and Steven has to remind him, hey, we've interviewed Kellen Moore, we've interviewed Robert Saleh, he has to remind him, now, Dad, you told me this was our guy. Well, Deion's out there still. Deion's out there on the board. What are we doing here?
I've imagined myself to believe it's somewhat possible twice now. I'm not going back for thirds on this. It's going
to
be shoddy.
I wouldn't do it without a way to get his son.
Yeah.
If there's not a way for him to get his son, we can talk about it later or something. He ain't going to make that move. I don't think so.
I would love the idea of telling the league, don't pick my son. We're not playing there. We're going to the Cowboys. And if he's willing to do that, I'd absolutely hire him. I mean, that would be an incredible added value. But, you know, until that happens, you know, I can't imagine it being realistic. I think the Cowboys go with status quo and the candidate who's most controllable.
Yeah, tell you what, if you're going to do this, go ahead and go get Deion. I mean, I'll jump back in. If you're going to go ahead. If you're not going to hire Aaron Glenn or anybody else I want, make this thing fun then.
Make
it fun.
I mean, Shoddy's going to
make it fun.
Shoddy's going to be boring and predictable, and we're coming back with the Fan After Dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking here for on a Tuesday night in the Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. Some baseball news this evening. Ichiro, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner are going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So congratulations to those three. Very deserving Hall of Fame careers. As we get set now to chat with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you on a Tuesday night. Gentlemen, good evening.
What's happening, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're doing good. You know, just been trying to track this Cowboy story throughout the day, keeping an eye on the rest of the world of sports. What do you guys have planned tonight?
Look, we're going to talk a little, obviously, we'll get into a little bit of this Brian Schottenheimer head coaching stuff. We've got former Super Bowl winner, Pro Bowler Larry Senners is going to join us at 7:40. Talking all things AFC, NFC title game, get his thoughts on, you know, kind of a little bit about what he sees as kind of his, what he likes as far as the advantages that each team has on Sunday. And then our guy,
Joe Trahan
is going to join us at, 8:20? 8:20.
Yep. Talk all things DFW sports. Mavs injury report seems to keep growing. Obviously, the Cowboys head coaching search and an update on all DFW teams with Joe.
This is coming from our buddy Nick Harris. Nick says, look, I could very well end up, this is from Twitter, by the way. He says, look, I could very well end up with egg on my face as this search is in full mode and there's a lot of noise, but I stand by my reporting from yesterday. I'm saying that I don't think Brian Schottenheimer is going to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. OC? ? Very possible. Head coach? ? It's coming from Nick Harris.
His article yesterday, he liked Kellen Moore. I wonder if he's still in that mode. And, you know, I guess if we get through the rest of this week and there's no news on Schottenheimer, we'll anticipate that. You know, Kellen Moore would be the next most likely hire. But, man, this thing is just uninspiring, unexciting.
Yeah, this is the point where we're at, where these are our two leading candidates, and we're having to
Let me go for the chaos again. Deion Sanders, please show up. If they're not going to hire Brian Schottenheimer, then go ahead, Jerry, just go ahead and tell Steven and Will and everybody else, Charlotte and Jerry Jr., that you're going to go hire Deion Sanders, and everybody needs to shut the F up.
Deion Sanders, or I mean, Jason Witten would be a story, going from high school to the NFL. How bad is he going to fail, or will he surprisingly succeed? You know, there's interesting things that they could do that wouldn't be boring.
Would you see would you see a situation where Deion would be cool with Jason Witten being on his staff just because of Deion's the confidence level that he brings to the table? If that's a possibility as far as Jason Witten's concerned?
I don't know. I don't know Deion that well. I mean, his confidence, you're right, is through the roof. And I would think if you're giving him a 5-year deal at, you know, $7-8 million a year, there's a lot of things I could be okay with. Right. You know? And the only other option right now being Colorado, and the chance to come to coach the Cowboys, you know, I think that would work if he was willing to accept everything else that Jerry wanted him to do.
So we're hearing that Jason Witten will be probably on the staff in some capacity. What do we think the leading role is? You know, tight ends coach,
assistant head coach,
tight ends coach, assistant head coach,
probably assistant head coach, and maybe have him involved with the offense some way. Yeah.
National championship game last night. What an insane throw on 3rd and 11. How do you have the cojones to call that play, to let that ball go? But he was filled with excitement and confidence when he let that thing go. I thought it was going to be good.
I mean, look, when you got that kid, Smith, I mean, what we talk about, he's a freshman? I mean, I've never seen anything like that as far as
a kid. Yeah, but what are the odds? I mean, even with the Randy Moss, you know?
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, we haven't seen...
That play goes wrong over 50% of the time.
I guess it's one of those deals where, I mean, look, he pretty much had Notre Dame's number all night, right? And you know, Blake and I talked about this last night. I mean, Will Howard, I mean, he was decisive. And for what he looked like and had his issues during the regular season, I can't say enough. And look, I watched that kid at K-State. Yeah. He never looked that good like he did last night.
He understands his playmakers. He gets the ball out.
He has absolutely played it. Once the playoffs started, his level of play from the Tennessee game on has been just outstanding. With the way he's played,
prime time dude.
They have every game you could see that there were more and more confidence in him throwing the football.
I mean, other than stumbling after the fourth down run against the Longhorns, it was like back to back weeks, two of the most clutch things you'll ever see in college football.
Was.
All right, thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control for Woolchuck and Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Addies.